Welcome to the Resonant Life Podcast. I'm Dr. Layla Doolittle, and I am so glad you're here. This podcast is a journey into the heart of functional health, where we will explore how to create a life filled with optimal wellness, vitality, and resonance. Each episode, we'll dive into a variety of topics designed to inspire and empower you, from practical health strategies to insightful conversations with experts. Our goal is to provide you with the tools and knowledge you need to live a life unburdened by health limitations. Together, we'll uncover ways to align with your true self, embrace your passions, and create a life that fills and reflects your deepest values. So whether you're seeking to optimize your health or simply looking for inspiration, you are in the right place. Let's embark on this journey of resonance and transformation together. I am so excited today to host Kyle Horpert on our podcast, The Resonant Life. Kyle is the founder of Toxic Roots, and he has a remarkable story of resilience, turning his battle with mercury poisoning into a powerful mission to guide others towards optimal health. His personal health challenges, combined with his academic research and practical experience, have equipped him with a deep understanding of detoxification and holistic wellness. At Toxic Roots, Kyle uses his expertise to help individuals navigate the complexities of heavy metal detoxification, mold issues, hormonal optimization, and mental performance enhancement. His goal is to positively impact the lives of 1 million people by providing comprehensive, tailored wellness strategies. Kyle is a certified wellness coach, nutrition coach, and personal trainer through the National Academy of Sports Medicine. His holistic approach, grounded in personal experience and professional qualifications, allows him to offer invaluable insights into how to safely and effectively rid the body of toxins and address mold-related health concerns. I'm so excited to carry on the conversation with you.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about yourself. Tell me what you love doing, what you're passionate about.
Yeah. So, I mean, where do we start? When it comes to my passion, it's really helping people with their health.
Yes.
And specifically, it's helping them figure out things that most people can't figure out.
Mm-hmm.
So my story is I went to doctor, to doctor, to doctor, to doctor,
mm-hmm.
feeling like trash. I had all the symptoms.
Yes.
So I had allergies that came out of nowhere, fatigue, mm-hmm. depression, mm-hmm. anxiety, massive weight gain,
mm-hmm.
As bad as suicidal thoughts.
Wow.
It got really rough.
Yes.
I went to about 6 doctors, including the best one in the city I was in,
mm-hmm.
who's known as the best doctor.
Yes.
And I was told by about half of them that they couldn't find anything, another half mm-hmm. said I was making it up.
Yeah.
One of them said, you're good, you just need a little testosterone.
Mm-hmm.
And so that kind of led me to researching.
Right.
So I went off of the traditional medical path
good.
into research, and this is where I was actually going through my doctorate in business at the time,
mm-hmm.
and they make you take 8 courses on research.
Mm.
So it's literally how to read a research paper,
yes.
looking at the conflict of interest, looking
mm-hmm.
at the structure of the study, all
yeah.
of that stuff.
Right.
So I took that knowledge and just applied it to health research.
Mm.
I started reading medical paper after medical paper
yes.
after medical paper. So with that, and believe it or not, you know, podcasts are actually a wealth of information.
Yes, they are.
Because what you can find on podcast is, so a lot of times I'll start my research on podcasts,
mm-hmm.
I'll hear it, I'll form my own ideas, and then I'll go into the literature
yes.
to make sure it's backed up.
Right. I love that.
Yeah, because you just don't know what you're looking for sometimes.
Exactly.
Until you have enough knowledge
mm-hmm.
on the topic. So through that process, I kind of figured out, hey, you know, this might be some kind of toxin,
mm-hmm.
underlying toxin.
Yes.
So I actually found through the biohacking conference, through mm-hmm. Dave Asprey.
Right.
I found a doctor who would work with me,
mm-hmm.
and what he said, he was like, listen, like, we know you have hormone dysregulation,
mm-hmm.
so like, let's fix that.
Right.
And so we really worked on fixing all my hormones, getting them all optimized,
mm-hmm.
and then he was like, now let's go do some toxic testing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I dove in, and I actually went down south to a doctor who's my friend now,
yes.
actually my co-host.
Nice.
Yeah, and he tested me for heavy metals and
mm-hmm.
a bunch of other things. He did a
yeah.
full panel, mycotoxins, all
mm-hmm.
that. And my mercury was through the roof.
Oh, no.
So that's what
yes.
it ended up being.
Big variable.
Yep.
Absolutely.
It's mercury. Thing.
Yes.
So when I got that information,
mm-hmm.
I did what I do best, and I just jumped back into the research.
Yes.
I read every single meta-analysis on
mm-hmm.
chelators, how to detox mercury,
mm-hmm.
everything there was.
Yeah.
Rodent studies, human trials,
yes.
everything I could find.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of developed my own protocol from there. And then from there, it just kind of evolved, and I started working into developing my protocols for mold, and developing my protocols for different metals and stuff like that. So now I help basically two groups of people. I help people who are dealing with mental symptoms, mostly related to heavy metals, and then people who are dealing with like weight gain or body composition issues. And a lot of times that is based in hormonal dysregulation, which a lot of times is based in some kind of toxin exposure. So that's kind of what I do now.
I love it. What an amazing journey you've been on. And especially to have walked the journey that many of who you're working with, Barty Bach, you know how to relate. And that definitely is something that is the first spark that can really lead you into this big passion of yours. And especially going through the research, that is not fun. And you somehow found interest in going deeper and going further than most people can to really unlock those mysteries. So I love that.
And I tell people
more about your protocols too.
Yeah. I tell people all the time, I'm not a doctor, but that's a good thing.
Yes.
Like, I'm not a doctor, I'm a researcher. So nothing against doctors.
I like that.
You're a doctor. But I'm a researcher, so I don't come in with preconceived ideas per se. I only see the information that's given to me. And if I don't know what it is, I'll just research it until I find out what it is.
Right.
And so I find new stuff every day.
I like it because you don't have blinders on.
Yeah.
I feel like that's one thing that many practitioners get into is just the rut thinking, where we learn through different protocols that we've learned through our programs or through the different specialties of diplomats, and we feel like we have one-track minds to solutions. But in the actual scheme of things, it's all, there's so many different variables and there's so much that we need to go into the research for. And the research is the cutting edge information that's just come up. By the time that it gets converted into textbooks and then the professors in the universities are teaching it, it's 20, 30 years past. Yep. And so with this kind of information, because we're all evolving so rapidly to try to keep up with all these toxins and super biotoxins and everything, we have to be able to go into that newest information, the new research, quickly like you're doing.
So what I see in a lot of people, because you asked about the protocol, there's a few main buckets of toxins, right? Mold is a big one, I believe, with mold patients. Heavy metals is another one. I lump chemicals kind of into one big bucket because there's so dang many of them.
Yes, I agree with that.
That it's kind of hard to differentiate specific chemicals, but we know that, you know, you could have a pesticide or it could be random byproducts of petroleum production or you name it. So I put chemicals in another bucket. And then endotoxins is the last one. To be honest with you, I don't know a lot about endotoxins. Don't normally go there, so that's not something I normally see. Usually if someone's dealing with something like that, I'll find a different practitioner to refer them out to. But the reason I focus on heavy metals so much is partially because of my own journey. But secondly, it's so powerful in controlling the other ones.
Yes, it does.
So one of the things that a lot of practitioners overlook is the clear link between mold and heavy metals. And so heavy metals serve as a home, as a house for mold. So it's it's kind of the, if you think of it as the scaffolding of the biofilms that mold lives in.
Yes.
So if you do a mold protocol and you're trying to flush mold from your body, but you're not removing the biofilms, it won't get most of it out.
Yes.
Because it's secure in there. So a lot of people need to flush heavy metals before they get rid of their mold.
Love it. I'm so glad you're thinking about this.
Well, a lot of people don't realize that.
Right.
So I actually, and again, I don't mean to speak ill about doctors, but I had I went through a terrible experience.
Of course.
And she was a mold doctor. And when you're a specific type of doctor that goes after a specific thing, like that's the only thing you focus on, it's good to be the best in that niche. But if that's the only thing you focus on, it looks like, you know, you have a hammer and everything's a nail.
Yes.
So everyone who comes to you has mold poisoning. Which is not necessarily true. So I did intensive mold protocols. Like intensive, fogging the house, combinations of binders, all kinds of stuff. Nothing happened.
For years.
Yeah, nothing, nothing changed.
Seeing patients come from those kinds of practitioners.
Nothing changed, but And the funny thing is, all of our protocols, you know, they were decent mold protocols. There's nothing wrong with it.
Yes.
But the issue was, the mold was not the root problem. It was the heavy metals.
I love it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And so it didn't matter what I was doing to try to kill this mold, it was mm-hmm. biofilms.
Yes.
I did have mold symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
I presented with mold symptoms
yes.
that weren't symptoms of the heavy metals.
Mm-hmm.
But when I pulled out the mercury, the mold symptoms went away.
Yes, your body yeah. now has the defenses
mm-hmm.
that it needs against the biotoxins against
yeah.
the mold.
I remember going in a hotel room, a moldy hotel room,
mm-hmm.
and I can tell, you can smell it.
Yes.
And I would, by the end of the trip, be like up and down, mood.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be like inflamed.
Yeah.
No more happens anymore.
Yes.
I can travel.
Wow.
I don't have to worry about that stuff.
You have freedom to live yep. your life with
yep.
your dreams again.
Yep.
That's beautiful.
So that's why I kind of honed in on heavy metals.
Mm-hmm. I love that. That has been one thing. So for me, my journey has been a mold journey and heavy metal journey, and then also just in the way that my immune system was most susceptible to any other biotoxins, it was obviously because of the stacked
mm-hmm.
Toxic load, toxic burden. And in my professional journey too, because I've had this past history of mold toxicity, I've seen many mold cases. And I receive those patients from other practitioners, other specialists who have been down the journey for years. They're constantly doing various mold protocols, candida protocols, they're going into all the other types of biotoxins are trying to kill Lyme, and they keep chasing all of these different types of biotoxins through protocols. And it's those root causes. What's holding on to the heavy metals, and why is it that their system isn't able to get rid of them? And how can we not be fearful around unlocking and releasing some of those more toxic elements that are root causes?
Yeah.
And that's what I bring to the table, is trying to come up with those solutions. So I really appreciate how you have also come up with these protocols to help you attract your patients and your practice members and your clients to really overcome what it is that's truly affecting their health. And I think that that's so important, that we are going deeper in that journey, because we're only seeing it melt more and more as our toxic world just continues. And there are so many, this one, just heavy metal onslaughts that we face in our health journeys, and it's not going to go away, it's not going to get easier. So we have to figure out how to keep our pathways open. Once we detox our overall toxic burden of heavy metals, once our toxic burden bucket is no longer just overflowing and filled with them, then what are some of the ideas that you've come up with for keeping those pathways open,
yeah.
and keeping the body in the defenses against heavy metals in the forefront so that it's capable?
Yeah, well, yeah. after the detox, I mean, mm-hmm. you're looking at basically strategies to keep you detoxed.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to go back to where you were.
Yes.
Once you've been set off, per se, I know mm-hmm. that's not a great term, but you know, everybody has their threshold. Once
yes.
they get past this threshold,
yes.
they have all these
they're
symptoms, and then they become very sensitive to
yes.
that, basically for the rest of their life.
Yes, yeah.
So they need to live basically a clean lifestyle,
mm-hmm.
free of these heavy metals.
Yes.
And so some of the best ways to do this are basic just daily detox strategies.
Yes.
So we're talking, first, slow the flow down.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be drinking non-purified water.
Yeah.
don't be drinking water that you know is contaminated. Don't be eating produce that isn't organic. You know, the
mm-hmm.
basic stuff.
Yes.
Make sure where you live is pretty clean.
Yes.
Don't live on a golf course if you can avoid it.
Yes,
stuff
definitely.
Like that. Because all kinds of pesticides there and metals are all over the place there.
Yeah.
Don't live next to a chemical processing
mm-hmm.
plant. All of that stuff. So basically slowing flow is the first step. And then I love different strategies. So lymphatic drainage, I think,
yes,
is an excellent one.
It's so important.
Liver flushes,
mm-hmm.
like coffee enemas, I think,
yeah.
are really good.
Yeah.
Sauna, infrared sauna is also excellent.
Yeah.
If you do those three,
mm-hmm.
if you do regular lymphatic drainage, sauna, and coffee enemas, you're probably going to be good after
yes.
you detox.
Right.
So, I mean, that's probably enough for most
mm-hmm.
people
yeah.
to handle kind of that reoccurring
sauna. I love it. I love that you're mentioning all of those. I agree with every single one of them. And I think it's so important that we have tools in our own tool basket that we are able to pull out, so we're not dependent on going into a clinic, going somewhere to detox.
Yeah.
And then that also lowers that threshold of like, well, I have to go out to find health. You want to bring that home. You want to set up your home base as your haven, so that's where you're able to stay in that healthy space, healthy environment. One thing that we love doing in my own practice is lymphatic drainage and lymphatic support, and various circuits that really
mm-hmm.
support those drainage pathways. And then we teach our patients how to set up their own lymphatic therapies at home. So how can they use vibration to start stimulating those lymphatic drainage pathways. Maybe a chi machine, we do the standing lymphatic plane or the chi, the vibration planes, and then some of the massager tools in the right directions so that we can sort of bring the lymph inward towards the thymus. And then maybe ion cleanse or some other things like that that help with the polarity chain charges. And I think it's so great that now in this day and age, we do have access to so many things. We just need the right guidance. So in essence, it's just finding those practitioners who are doing it, like you and I have been doing, to help guide that process.
Yeah.
So are you teaching, so you're teaching these protocols, I know that. And then are you also teaching how to implement this into people's homes? Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, so this is, I haven't necessarily worked in like implementing circuits of things in people's homes. So I'm actually a franchisee for Upgrade Labs.
Yeah.
And so I actually like the model of Upgrade Labs a lot because it allows people to do most of this stuff for a reasonable monthly fee as opposed to paying thousands of dollars for whatever technology they might want. I believe you have a clinic here that you do a lot of these things.
Yes.
For most people, setting up a space is just not viable. It's actually much better to come and spend a few $100 a month doing a circuit in your office or at an Upgrade Labs. Upgrade Labs has a piece of technology called the Balancer Pro, which is incredible for lymphatic drainage.
Oh, nice.
So I think it's like, you heard of like Normatec, like recovery boots.
Yes.
So those are just basically air pockets.
Mm-hmm.
Balancer Pro is like a highly sophisticated version of those that actually moves lymph fluid.
Nice.
It's been FDA approved for lymphatic drainage, and they have a upper body as well as a lower body.
Mm-hmm.
It is incredible. I mean, people can lose multiple pounds in an hour on that thing.
Wow.
Because it's just literally flushing and they'll just like have to go to the bathroom afterwards and
that's
feel the inflammation out.
Yeah. Oh, that's amazing.
So stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
I think really that's where we need to head as a society. I think these things need to be available from a like a consumer standpoint as opposed to only letting it be available for the 1%.
Yes.
They can build space in their home.
Right. That's
now,
true.
When you get to building a space in your home, because I'm a biohacker. I have stuff like this in my house.
Yes.
I have my sauna. I have my little ozone generator. I have all my stuff.
Right.
But, you know, there's a lot of considerations you have to do. And I do some consulting about building like healthy spaces. Things like that. Maybe we should save that for another episode.
Yes, let's do. We'll save that for another episode.
I do want to sort of go back to your protocol question.
Sure. Yeah,
so for heavy metals.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, so there are... From what I understand, there are three buckets of how people like to detox heavy metals.
Mm.
There's the natural bucket.
Mm-hmm.
So this is your cilantro. This
yes.
is your spirulina.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff. I'm not a huge fan of it because if you have a high burden, a very heavy burden, those could possibly hurt you more than they can help you. The reason is most of those chelators are not true chelators, so they have one thiol bond, meaning they weakly bind to heavy metals, as opposed to a true chelator, which has two thiol bonds, and so it binds and doesn't let go.
Yes.
So
carries it out of the system.
Yes.
Probably.
Yes. So if you were doing something like a cilantro heavy metal cleanse, it's a very select group of people that I would consider to do that. It would be people who don't have a very high burden, just want to kind of make sure that they're not reoccurring, maybe as part of the like keeping your heavy metals low strategy.
Treatments. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And also when you do that, I would most likely approach it with a very high dose regularly.
Right.
So every couple hours, another dose of cilantro.
Mm-hmm.
Because remember, they're binding weakly, so they're going to grab it, they're going to move it, they're going to drop it.
Yeah.
If you're taking it, and you're taking it, and you're taking it, and you're taking
just
it, they can keep moving it out.
Yes.
Who's going to do that? I don't know. Are you going to go buy 5 pounds of cilantro and grind it up every hour and drink it?
No. I get it.
Yeah. So for the most part, I don't recommend the natural course, which is hard because I'm not a doctor, I don't prescribe, but I can't argue with what I've read and what I've seen to be true.
I agree with that too.
So like, I would love for there to be a natural way, and I think it is possible if everything else is perfect in your life, but it just doesn't seem the best efficacious way to do it. Group number two is what I would call the medical doctor version of chelation.
Mm-hmm.
So this is your chelating agents like EDTA,
yes.
DMPS, DMSA. So those are the three main chelators
yes.
available.
Mm-hmm.
And they administer them via IV.
Mm-hmm.
So you go into a doctor, and most likely they'll tell you, this is the way we do it, we chelate
yeah.
with these IVs.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you get to zero, based on a provocation test, we can go into that more if you want to. And I do think that has its merit,
mm-hmm.
but I don't think it's complete.
Right.
And so right. the third bucket is what I call the DIY mm-hmm. approach.
Yes.
And so this is developed by Andy Keller, Dr. Andy Keller,
mm-hmm.
Who has passed away since he developed this, probably because he didn't do his own protocol enough.
Well.
yeah.
Sure.
It's his son wrote a book on it afterwards, and he literally called out his dad for saying, like, he just did it till his symptoms went away, but he didn't do it to clear the pulp, enough to clear all the metals.
Yeah. Wow, that's amazing to call them out on it.
A little bit of drama there. But this method involves taking ALA, alpha lipoic acid, okay. on the half-life of ALA.
Hmm.
And the reason this is important is because DMPS, DMSA, mm-hmm. EDTA don't
yes.
cross the blood-brain barrier.
Hmm.
And so this is shown in the
yes.
literature. They do not cross the blood-brain barrier.
Yeah.
So what happens is you take it, it'll bind metals in your liver, your kidneys,
mm-hmm.
your muscles,
yes.
All over your body, and we can talk about fat in a minute too.
Yes. Oh, that's
important. And all over your body, and it'll
yeah.
pull it out, but it won't pull them from your brain.
Right.
A lot of people with heavy metal poisoning, especially mercury,
mm-hmm.
it loves the brain.
Yes, it does.
So if you pull all the mercury from your body, yes, you've decreased your burden, but maybe you haven't gotten rid of the main symptoms because most of it is in your brain.
Yes.
ALA does cross the blood-brain barrier.
Yes, it does.
So that's probably the most efficacious way to get it out of your brain. So my protocol
yeah.
is I like to combine the kind of doctor model
yes.
with the DIY ALA.
Mm-hmm.
And the way I like to do it is, and you don't necessarily have to do it IV.
Mm-hmm.
There are ways to get oral.
Mm-hmm.
DMPS,
yes.
DMSA, EDTA.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some lingual and things like mm-hmm. that. If I can't mention this, edit this out.
No.
But livingsupplements.com.
Yeah. Okay.
It's a place in South Africa.
Yeah.
You can literally order DMPS
oh.
to chelate mercury and
amazing.
Ship it to you here in the U.S.
Oh, incredible.
Orally, yeah.
Wow.
And so it's not cheap,
oh.
but it's way cheaper than doing the IVs.
Yes. Well, that's great to know because I have many patients that are in Europe and
mm-hmm.
Australia, and I'll just ship straight from there, direct dropship.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So what I do is I tell people, like, if you can find a doctor that does chelation,
mm-hmm.
that's probably the fastest and easiest route
mm-hmm.
to do that, to get it out of your body.
Sure.
Once you get it out of your body, you need to go into the Andy Keller method.
Yes.
To pull it out of your brain.
Mm-hmm.
It's a long process.
Yes.
This is not something you, like, I have heavy metal poisoning. I'm
yeah.
in 6 months.
Right.
We're talking years.
Mm-hmm.
And for the people that are extremely affected, we're talking 5
yeah.
years.
Sure.
The reason I recommend, if you can do it IV
mm-hmm.
as opposed to orally is cheaper. It's arguably you can tolerate probably going a little faster
mm-hmm.
as well.
Yeah.
It's brutal.
Yeah.
So the Herzheimer reactions orally
what?
Are much worse, I've seen,
mm-hmm.
than what you experience with an IV.
Yes.
The other thing is, if you're in an IV, you're in an office, the doctor knows what they're doing,
yeah.
especially if it's your first time or you're testing.
Mm-hmm.
Go to a doctor to get tested
yes.
for the first time. Try the thing with the doctor in the office.
Right.
Don't just order something from South Africa
yes.
and start taking the pills.
Definitely.
So, and that's very important. So I did a reel with Non-Toxic Dad,
yes.
Warren.
Yeah.
And we got like 90 comments or something crazy like that.
Mm-hmm.
People were like, how do I detox?
Oh gosh.
And like, I responded to all of them. I was like, don't detox. Test.
Yes, I know. Which actually mobilizes.
Yeah, so I recommend working with someone who knows what they're doing.
Definitely.
Right, through this whole process, but definitely just at least to test.
Yes.
So once you test with a provocation,
mm-hmm.
you know how you react to the substance.
Yes.
Then you can consider doing
mm-hmm.
the rest on your own.
Yeah.
So.
I love what you're talking about so much. And the alpha lipoic acid and acetyl-L-carnitine, that's something that I take. Do you like liposomal form of these to cross the blood-brain barrier better?
So I don't, from what I've read, I don't think you really need the liposomal form
yeah.
of ALA.
Okay.
It's such a small molecule, it moves so quickly to the brain.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. It's absorbed like within 15 minutes.
Great. Wow.
Yeah. So it's actually pretty interesting. If
mm-hmm.
you look at the R version
mm-hmm.
of ALA,
mm-hmm.
it's less effective for removing heavy metals
yes.
per the amount of side effects you get.
Oh, wow.
So it's good, it's good to get the non-active form. Definitely.
Yes. Well, I love that. Yeah, I've been taking this liposome form, mm-hmm. like just in a little sachet form, for about 3 or 4 months for the brain benefits. Mm-hmm. Also for some heavy medication, but for me, I have very low burden at this point. Well, I love your protocols and I really resonate with them. And I appreciate you sharing about this because it is so important that I think every single person addresses this is the root cause. And also works with practitioners that are knowledgeable and not fearful about going for this as a root cause. Because what I've seen in functional medicine is that many practitioners just say, well, if we don't want to mobilize heavy metals because we're afraid that it will then go to somewhere else in the body. What I've seen is that it already is at those places. So it's at the weakest link, wherever that weakest link is. My background in functional neurology brings in many brain-based patients. And so what I've seen is that most of those cases, it's because the blood-brain barrier has been opened and those heavy metals have been allowed to cross. Therefore, the immune system is having a hard time getting there. The body isn't able to get to that place and bind and pull it out on its own. So we need to figure out how do we introduce the right binders, how do we introduce the right protocols to actually help mobilize it in the right way to pull it out of the body.
Yeah.
And I appreciate how you said that strongly bound. Mm-hmm. Let's make sure that we're binding it the right way because that's where it's gone wrong in the past.
Yeah. Well, the practitioners who are afraid to do it, it's just a lack of understanding mm-hmm. of the science.
Yes.
So you know that DMPS, EDTA, mm-hmm. DMSA are shown to be strong binders, meaning they do not redistribute.
Right.
That it is shown that they do not redistribute.
Mm-hmm.
So that in combination with, I do understand the fear of yes. pushing more towards the brain,
mm-hmm.
but there's also things you can do to mitigate that.
Yeah.
So your heavy metals usually correlate with a specific mineral.
Mm.
And so like mercury usually takes the place of molybdenum.
Yes.
And so if you're detoxing from mercury using DMPS, mm-hmm. you'll want to dose molybdenum and selenium.
Mm-hmm.
And so selenium specifically also will have a sink effect. So yeah. what it does is it actually helps the body naturally redistribute
yes.
the mercury from the brain down into the body,
right.
making your DMPS, your chelation mm-hmm. more effective, giving you less needed time on your ALA cycles.
Right. I love how you know the biochemistry behind this. It's so great to be able to appreciate that it really is a tangible cycle that we have to get into. And we have to understand how are we mobilizing it and where are we mobilizing it to. And the body knows what to do with it as long as we have the lymphatic channels working properly, the drainage pathways, the kidney, the liver, all the systems that are ready to flush and actually get it out of the body are right for that drainage. Great, it knows how to mobilize it out. Let's talk about where it gets stored in the storage sites, the adipocytes, the fat cells of the body,
yeah.
because fat will harbor it oftentimes, and it just provides this little like storage unit that's just sitting there empty and open in the perfect shape and size for it to be harbored.
Well, this is hard. Mm-hmm. So this is actually an issue for yes. chelation. So if you're overweight, most likely you have a massive amount of toxins stored mm-hmm. in your fat. Even if you're not overweight, it could be stored in fat. Fat is not vascular, meaning there's not a blood supply to fat.
Yes.
So when you administer something like DMPS or a chelating agent, even ALA, it has no way of getting to fat.
Yes.
And so it creates this problem where like you can have these heavy metals that are causing mm-hmm. estrogenic effects that yeah. are causing inflammation across your body, mm-hmm. but they cannot be pulled out.
Yes.
So thankfully, a lot of metals prefer organ systems.
Yes.
Still great, but so most of them can be accessed by chelating agents, mm-hmm. but it's not uncommon for people to have a large burden of heavy metals yes. in their fat. So mm-hmm. I actually saw this part of my journey
mm.
because I gained 60 pounds in 60 days.
Mm. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Your body was just trying to protect.
I was literally like on keto, like working yeah. out, eating 2,000 calories mm-hmm. a day, like
yeah.
There's no way I actually ate that much food.
Mm-mm. It's not no. possible. No, it's not.
So, as I chelated, I lost a lot of the weight.
Yes.
But what was interesting in my provocation tests is I went from like a 34 on the test down to a 14,
wow.
down to a 4.
Yes.
And at that point, I lost a bunch of weight, and I went back up to like an 11.
Oh, yeah. Because your body was mobilizing it.
Yep, yep. So it mobilized it again.
Mm-hmm.
And so it kind of is stored there. So
yeah.
This is the hardest part
mm-hmm.
about a chelation journey yes. because you're looking at something like So I'm about probably 2 years into my healing journey.
Right.
I did it faster than most people do.
Yes,
it.
Definitely.
I'm still not 100% detoxed in my brain.
Mm-hmm.
But the hardest part is, so you can clear from the body with DMPS or mm-hmm. DMTA or DMSA.
Yeah.
You clear from the body. Now you have to work on your body fat levels
mm-hmm.
and the brain.
Yes.
Hopefully at the same time,
mm-hmm.
so you can kind of keep yeah. pulling it out. So the brain process will take anywhere from 6 months to 3.5 years.
Yes.
Roughly. Mm-hmm. But if you can concentrate on losing weight, losing fat during that time,
yes.
that'll also free up hormones and
definitely.
Keep pulling them out while you're doing the brain detox.
Absolutely.
So, you know, a perfect protocol, which no one's going to do, it's
mm-hmm.
literally no one, is to be like as you're going through the brain phase towards the tail end of it, you go like through bodybuilder prep,
mm-hmm.
and you go down to like as low body fat as you
yes.
possibly manage.
Definitely.
Just to free up all those toxins and clean
mm-hmm.
them all out.
That's my
long-term plan.
Yeah.
So in about a year, I plan to do that.
Yes, I love it. That's what I've seen. And also with the brain, it is mostly fat. And so the phospholipids that are there, it's such juicy matter,
mm-hmm.
like the white matter itself, it's just so much fat that it holds on to many of those heavy metals and it stores it in a very similar way as it's stored in the adipocytes, in the actual fat cells of the body. And so that's one thing that I've seen and had great experience with, is as long as we're doing like slimming therapy protocols that maybe using ultrasound cavitation or something to actually help to release some of those toxic oils and triglycerides and whatever other fat substances and molecules may be holding on to heavy metals in the fat cells, and then flushing them out immediately, like within the same protocol, on the same afternoon, all in the same sequence, along with that heavy metal fought strong chelation, then we have the best chance of actually mobilizing and pulling it out of the system. And in doing that, that is where the system has the best chance also of mobilizing from the brain, because your body is going to be more open to clearing across the blood-brain barrier during those times or those protocols whenever you have the binders going in for your tube system.
I actually love that. So I've actually wanted to try the ultrasound cavitation.
Yeah.
I haven't had a chance to do it, but I've seen a lot of these technologies. So ultrasound cavitation is
yes.
one of them. Seems there's RF frequencies. Seems
yes,
to be a different
we
one.
Have that as well.
Yeah, and then there seems to be like some cryo version.
Yes.
As well. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if it has the same effect of kind of opening up the cell and flushing the toxins.
It doesn't have the same effect.
Yeah.
What that will do is it helps to congeal that, like it's basically like fat getting cold. The saturated fat you think of in coconut oil, whenever it gets really cold, it's
mm-hmm.
super hard. Well, that's the same way. Cryotherapy will kind of harden and compress, and so what that does is that allows your own body to start clearing that out, mobilizing it. I found that the proper sequence typically is the ultrasound cavitation. We follow that up immediately by the RF frequencies, the radio frequencies, and then we also use cold laser therapy that's set to specific frequencies, and we'll use the heavy metal therapy frequencies, lymphatic frequencies, inflammation frequencies, and then also just to clear adipocytes itself, and that's to encourage more of the autophagy, the killing off of the cells.
That's a brilliant protocol.
Yes.
I love that, yeah, because that's, in my heavy metal detox journey, I'm getting to the point where I'm about to start really focusing on losing all my remaining body fat.
Mm-hmm.
So when I lost a bunch of weight, you know, with that, I wasn't necessarily like in the gym focusing
mm-hmm.
on strength. So I got to a point where I was very low amount of muscle mass.
Yes.
Which makes it harder to lose weight. So
yes.
recently I've put on a lot of muscle mass
mm-hmm.
and now I'm back into that kind of trying to lose that final amount of weight.
Yes.
So these are the kind of things that I want to get
yeah.
into to really free up those toxins.
Oh my goodness. Well, it's so great then, because this will be the perfect part of the journey. And this is one thing that we're constantly developing our protocols as well. And so I love what information you've given me, because this is where I'm going to continue leaning more into it. And one thing that I was planning on offering at the end of the summer is actually bringing in more of an IV lounge specifically for these levels of chelation.
That'd be awesome.
So, yeah, we have a medical doctor that's going to be joining us that soon, and he's an internal medicine doctor and trained in functional medicine therapies. And one thing that he's worked with is setting up chelation specifically for this root cause approach, and that's what I'm thrilled about, is in the clinic now we'll have a specific sequence and protocol where we'll build in intensives. Most
nice.
Of our patients and practice members are from many other states and from around the world.
Yeah.
So they'll fly in and they'll come in for therapies anyway for about 4 or 5 hours in a day, maybe 2 to 3 days per week, just to go ahead and get all the different therapies for their drainage protocols, for the lymphatic system. It's really helpful with making sure that their body's in prepped and ready to clear. And then we'll be introducing in the IV therapy at the same time so that we can really do more of the intensive work.
Yeah, that's brilliant. I mean, that I think is going to lead to so much quicker, mm-hmm. efficacious outcomes.
Yes.
So that's something that, like, it's hard because, again, when you're taking this technology, this stuff is not cheap, mm-hmm. right?
Right?
Like an ultrasound cavitation machine, most people are not going to buy it by the house.
Yes.
So, like, having it available to go into a clinic,
yeah.
have it there, and you can do it, and you're not spending the thousands and thousands and thousands
yes.
of dollars to buy a machine.
Exactly.
And that's only one part of it.
Yeah.
is so important.
Yes.
So if you want my protocol, I can write it all out in details and everything.
We've
talked about it here, but I didn't give dosages or anything.
Yeah.
Like on a podcast to be like, hey, this is kind of the dosage.
Yes.
This is the timeline. Like work with someone who knows what they're doing.
Definitely, it's better that way,
yeah.
especially for this kind of clearing.
Yeah.
Whatever, it's root cause clearing, and typically it's been happening for someone's entire life. Most people don't have the luxury that I had, where I was protected all the way until I was 21 years old. But that is a lot of heavy metal toxicity that just we've been bombarded with our entire life. So it takes some time to go back through the layers, and we want to make sure that we're taking care of all the other root causes at the same time. So I thank you so much for sharing your protocol, and I'll share mine. And I think it's so important that we're teaching each other and that we're sharing this information, because it is so widespread, such a need.
Yeah, I think it's so important. I've said it once, I'll say it before. And this is controversial, so once again, if you need to cut it, please cut it.
Yeah, shut it off.
But I don't think we're dealing with a mental health crisis.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're dealing with a toxin crisis.
Yes.
That manifests in mental health issues.
Yes.
I don't think, your phones are probably contributing to it. But I don't think our technology has completely screwed up our biology to the effect where our mental health is ruined. I think we have a toxin problem resulting in hormonal dysregulation,
mm-hmm.
resulting in all these things going off in the body,
yes.
inflammation signals that are being attacked.
Yes.
And that's causing the mental health issues. For me, I saw it the first day.
Completely. Wow, beautiful. I resonate with that so much. And I see that from a functional neurology standpoint. Like we can think about the anatomical areas of where so going into a bit of anatomy very quick to just further solidify that your point is so accurate and valid. There are ventricles, little lake systems in the brain, and the cerebral spinal fluid flows up all the way around the spinal cord, around all of our nerves, our peripheral nerves that go to the rest of the body, everything that is sending in information to the brain, telling our brain where we are in space, how things are going, giving us a check-in about our organ systems, making sure that it's updated on everything that is being received, including all the toxins that are coming in, including all the toxins that are sitting around in the visceral fat, sitting around and just waiting to be released from the body. That information is going to the brain, and that information is also pumping up and down in that cerebral spinal fluid. And there are these little lakes in the brain, these ventricles, that can just be so filled with toxins. It's like a very toxic lake, a toxic pond that needs to be cleared out, cleaned out, and just a healthy status or a healthy balance, homeostasis put back into it. Whenever we are super toxic, all of those surrounding areas in the brain, our limbic system, our emotion center, our basic ganglia for our mood, our motivation, for what gives us our drive, what helps us not feel apathetic, our emotions around how we feel about ourselves, even like the serotonin and some of these neurotransmitters that help us feel our happiness, our sense of well-being, all of those can be affected so quickly by changes in the biochemistry from toxins. Mm-hmm. And it's like a continuous pumping action. It's just continuing to tell the brain, I'm super toxic, I'm in a toxic world, I'm fearful about all the other places that toxins can come into. So we're more reactive and less resilient. And it's that resilience that gets built in. Whenever the brain gets the check-in from the rest of the body, from the information, and saying, oh yeah, the toxins are less. We're reducing the overall toxic load. Now we mount more of a response of resilience and resistance against things, then we have our defense systems set back up. And that's where we're able to tip that cascade point. And as soon as we can tip that balance point and that threshold, then the body is just capable again. The trauma's are restored and the body is able to have its defense systems against any other toxins, including heavy metals.
I love that. This is why I love talking with other practitioners, because it's like, and I'm not a doctor, but I consider myself a health practitioner, a health coach.
Absolutely.
I love talking with other practitioners because, you know, each person has their area of genius. Yes. I think you've heard that from the coaching group we're in. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you can find these areas of genius and they have so much crossover. Mm-hmm. So like, if you find and start talking to someone who knows what they're talking about from their perspective, and you collaborate with someone else, you're going to learn something.
Yes.
And it's so beneficial. One of the reasons why I love having my co-host on the podcast.
I love that. Wow. Well, tell us a little bit, tell our listeners about you. Introduce yourself. Tell them how to get a hold of you and contact you, how to find a way to learn more about you. Tell us about your podcast so they can find a way to that.
Yeah. And so my podcast is Peak Performance Podcast. It's on Spotify. It's on Apple. It's basically on all the things. It's a video podcast. And so you can kind of search Coach Kyle Peak Performance if you want. That's probably the easiest way to get it to pop up. I'm on Instagram at ToxinFreeKyle.
Yes, I love it.
My company is called Toxic Roots, so we focus on finding each person's toxic root. And that's at ToxinFree or Toxic Roots Wellness on Instagram.
I love it.
And you can find us on all things. We're on TikTok or X.
Yes.
So
good.
Anywhere you want to connect with us, DM us, the website.
Good. Oh, thank you so much for sharing with our audience and sharing with me. I am so honored, so blessed to get to learn from you today. And I've really enjoyed our conversation.
Of course.
Thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you for tuning into this episode of the Resonant Life Podcast. I hope you found our discussion insightful and empowering. Before wrapping up, I want to invite you to explore our resources available through Resonance Wellness. Visit our website to access a wealth of free content, including downloadable guides, insightful articles, and practical tools designed to support your health journey. We also offer a variety of programs and courses that delve deeper into functional medicine, providing you with personalized strategies and expert guidance. If you are interested in learning how to integrate these insights into your own life, I encourage you to book a discovery call with me. Together, we will explore how functional medicine can help you achieve your wellness goals and live a life of optimal wellness. Visit drlaylaDoolittle.com to download your free resources and schedule your call. I look forward to connecting with you and helping you on your journey to a more resonant and fulfilling life. Until next time, I'm Dr. Layla Doolittle, wishing you a day filled with resonance and vibrant well-being. See you in the next episode. Thank you.